We are doing our studies in these morning services from the book of Exodus, studying the Ten Commandments, and we have titled the entire series with the title, Rediscovering Our Foundation. And I will suggest to you that if I had the choice, I would sooner be preaching or teaching on the sovereignty of God than to be teaching this morning on the Sabbath day. Because each of us brings with us some personal view of this day. And I tell you, as I read some of the great minds concerning this day, great Hebrew scholars, they didn't do much for me either. I was hoping that someone would give me a definitive answer, and so that I could bring that to you this morning, and you could leave here saying, I know what I am supposed to do on the Sabbath day. And we will take two messages, because we have to deal with how does this Sabbath day square with Sunday? Is Sunday the Sabbath day? Well, John Calvin believes so, and that should settle it. But I'm afraid it doesn't. And so we will take the text this morning and deal with the text itself. Then next week, Lord's willing, we will look at the Lord Jesus and how he responded as we had his reading this morning from Mark chapter 2, that our Lord was able to say that the Sabbath was made for man. And I think we need to pay attention to that statement, because it has tremendous influence on the rest of what we read about the Sabbath day. So I invite your attention, I invite your patience as we read from the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus, beginning to read at verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day. Remember now, this is God speaking to Moses, not Moses speaking to the people. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or female servant, or your cattle, or your sojourner, who stays with you. Keep in mind that little word, for. In 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, or made it holy, or sanctified it, as some translations say. It is important to note the location of the fourth commandment. It sets itself right between what God reveals about himself and what God wants us to know about human relationships. It is like the bridge between a man coming from God and going to people. It is, if you please, the gateway to the relationship between human beings, between humanity, from people to people. From here on, we will be dealing with some of the natural, moral, and ethical relationships between humanity. And the fourth commandment stands as a bridge toward that. I think that must be noted, that there is some significance to where God placed this. I want you to remember again that it was God who is placing the commandment where it is, and not Moses looking for a preference as to where these may be. So immediately we go into our text and we ask ourselves, what is the pattern for the Sabbath? What is the pattern? Or if you please, who is our example? And I want you to turn to the second chapter of the book of Genesis as we seek to understand something of what it is all about. Genesis chapter 2. Now, if you are a Bible student, immediately you will understand that there are some who believe that the Sabbath does not have anything to do with the creative ordinance. I suppose I can say that I believe it does. For the little word, for, connects what God is saying in Exodus to here, Genesis chapter 2. For in 6 days. So God is making a connection between the two. Let's look at God, our pattern. And we read after God had created everything in the world, created the world and everything in it, he gave man, humanity, man and woman, he gave man the responsibility of taking care of the earth, specific instructions as to what they were supposed to do. Everything was finished. And Genesis chapter 2, verse 2 tells us that at the end of everything being completed, God rested. Now that's a very interesting term for God. Are we suggesting here that after God made the creation, he gasped? Are we saying that God becomes weary? Are we saying that there is in God the possibility that he can become tired, or, if you please, fatigued after he had exerted certain amount of energy? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 says this: "Have you not understood? Have you not heard that the Lord does not become weary? From everlasting he is who he is." And God never becomes exhausted. God never gets to the place where he says, "I can't go anymore. I can't do anymore." When we read, my friends, in Genesis that God rested, the word literally there is that he ceased. He ceased to create anymore. Everything needed to be created was created. Every bit of information needed for the created world was now in place. And God says, "I am ceasing from any created works." It is not that he was tired. It is not that he was exhausted. It is that he ceased to create any other world. Now again, there are some who will say, "How can you be sure that there aren't other worlds apart from this world?" I don't know. I only know the one that we have. It's interesting. I was listening to Billy Graham some time ago, and he believes that there are other worlds. So if you believe that, you're in good company. If you believe like I do, I feel sorry for you. Oh, I'm only Winston Thurton. But I don't know of any other worlds. And even if there were other worlds, dear friends, isn't it amazing that God designed that he would communicate with this one? That he would come to where you and I are? That he would not limit himself or put himself to those who are closer to heaven, if that's where they are, or those who had not entered into the demise of humanity? No, he came to where we are. And so God himself becomes the example of what we are talking about when we talk about the pattern for the Sabbath day. He is the example. We see him ceasing from what he was doing, if you please, the 6 days previously. And on the seventh day, when all the creation was finished, God ceased from creating. But why? Why did God remove himself, if you please, from what he was doing 6 days and come to the second day, to the seventh day, and then did something specific with the seventh day he didn't do with the first 6 days? Genesis chapter 2, verse 3 tells us, "And when God rested in the seventh day, after he was finished with his creative acts, he blessed the seventh day and sanctified it," or he hallowed it. What do we mean? God is saying, this day has significance. It is this day that is set aside for me to be able to look at what I have done. I'm using human terms here. For me to be able to look at what I have done and to be satisfied with the works which I have done within those days. Listen, if you please, to Psalm 8. "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have made from your fingers the world and all that is in it." And the psalmist goes on to describe how God made the heavens and the earth, and how little children understand that, and how he placed the beasts in the forest where they belong, and man where he would rule the universe. And the psalmist says, "When I think of all these things, it is a wonder. I'm able to look at creation. I'm able to see the design of God running right through it." My friends, when God rested on the seventh day, whatever was in his mind, I do not know. Because the text doesn't tell us. But it tells us that when he hallowed the day, he made the day distinct from the other days. And the distinction of that day is that God himself was an example of what we are supposed to do when we come to the Sabbath day. All creation is climaxed 6 days. And from the seventh day on, the seventh day stands between what man is to do, how man is to treat his workaday world, and that one day is going to be placed in its position for a very, very significant purpose. We shall see in a minute. So we go to the proclamation of the Sabbath. We come back to Exodus chapter 20 now. The people of Israel are now preparing to go into the promised land. They are surrounded by a group of what we would call pagan people. People who worship creation. People who had no concern or had no idea or no knowledge of the true God who created all things. People who were idol worshippers. People who went from where they were on earth to the created things in heaven. And they would look at the stars and the sun and the moon, and they would get the clue for their lives from what was created. And God said to them, when you go into the land which I'm giving to you, do not get your clue for living from the world around you. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. This day was to be a day in which, when it is remembered, it would make the people of God distinct from the people of the world. By keeping that day, they were saying to the people in the land, there is a connection here. I go beyond what is created to the Creator. He has ordered me to keep this day. Let's look at three things about that. Defining the Sabbath. Defining it. What it is. What is it? Dr. G. Griffith Thomas, one of the great minds of the past, not too distant past, but of the past, says that the Sabbath was intended for cessation of labor, or from labor, and for satisfaction. He's saying that in God, when God ceased from creation, he was satisfied with what he had done. We have some clue of this, because after each created thing or act of God, he said, it was good. It was good. He was satisfied with it. Like an artist who goes to his board and paints a picture. And what he sees in the end result is that which brings a sense of inner joy, just as I intended, just as I envisioned. Well, my friends, far beyond that, when God created the heavens and the earth, it was just as God intended. He said it was good. He was satisfied. What a wonderful, wonderful thing that is. Well, the word then means to cease from. Literally, illiterally, the word means an intermission. You have been to Roy Thompson Hall, and you're watching the play or the piece of music being presented, and at a certain point, all the musicians stand and they go out. It's an intermission. It doesn't mean that the show is over. It means they're taking a break. They're stopping the continuous performance so that perhaps you can go out in Roy Thompson Hall's situation, go out and get a drink of cold drink or a drink of water, or go to that usual place where most people go out on intermission. It doesn't mean that God isn't doing anything. It doesn't mean, my friends, that God now saying, it's done. Now I can take a break for a while. No. It means that which was being done is finished, and now there is something else to be done, but not in the vein as it was being done before. We'll see what that is in a moment. So the defining of the Sabbath is that it is an intermission. Man works 6 days. He does his work. He does his work. He does his work. And the Sabbath is an intermission. It doesn't end his work. It is a break from it. It is a break from that which has been sapping his energy. It is a break from that which has actually been making demands upon his mind, upon his family. That which has been making a demand upon all that he had to do at home. You know, it's a very interesting thing. Interesting thing. When I was down at the other church, I used to try and have meetings on Saturday mornings. And I tell you, it was like pulling hen's teeth. I couldn't get anyone to attend a meeting or convene a meeting Saturday morning. Once in a while, I got really fortunate and it happened, but on a whole, no. And the men especially resisted having a meeting on Saturday mornings. I lived in the parsonage then. When I came here, the congregation suggested that I get my own house. And then I understand why they don't want to work on Saturday mornings. It is the only day you have to catch up in some of the things you weren't able to do at home. 6 days you were giving your energies to somebody else. 6 days your time was spent for someone else. You're under the if you please, the tyranny of somebody else. If you're a teacher, as my wife is, half days. She works full days, but they pay her just for half days. She's supposed to be a half-day teacher. And oh, my friend, she comes home with work. She leaves early in the morning, and sometimes she doesn't get home until the middle of the afternoon, and then she has to go back downtown again. I mean, the sapping of the energy. The teachers who work full-time. I remember when we were living in Thornton at the time, and it was a very busy, busy week for me. I was getting ready to go to bed, and I kissed my wife goodbye. My energy was sapped. It was being given to somebody else. There was no intermission. And have you not found it yourself, my friends, that all you do is just give and give and give and give. And even if you don't express it, you say, isn't there a time for a break? When do I stop to catch my breath? It means an intermission. God saw that man would need an intermission from constant energy being given to labor. And he says, I'm going to model it for you. And he ceased his creative work, defining the Sabbath, the demand of the Sabbath, the demand of the Sabbath. I never saw it before. Look at a little word, remember. Remember. The word means to think. It is not simply to call. It is like to bring before one's mind. It is a word that accountants use to reckon something. So that when God tells us to remember, he wants us to keep before the mind, just as we keep certain things, principles before us when we're doing books. The Sabbath in the mind of humanity. Listen, friends. When the Sabbath is in the mind of humanity, man and woman, as they work and spend their energies, giving and giving, to keep the Sabbath in mind, it is the truly Christian person who can say, thank God it's Friday. Because what he's going to do, what she's going to do, there will be an intermission. And he or she can look forward. There is coming a time at the end of this week when I will be able to cease from this and I will be able to catch my breath. I will be able to renew my strength. I will cease from this. But dear friends, if we keep on doing it, day in, night out, day in, night out, weekend, day in, night out, we begin to affect our own, now please listen to me, we affect our own spiritual and physical health. What God is seeking to prevent, my friends, in this is the secularization of society. A society that just keeps going, labor to make more, to get more, to gain more, more and more, is a society that is becoming secular because it has lost its connection with that day, which reminds it that there is more to life than simply labor. There's more to life than that. As I studied this, one of the most interesting things I discovered, two of the most secular nations in the world have tried to get rid of the Sabbath. William Barclay, great historian that he is, or was, said that during the French Revolution, they decided to get rid of a Sunday. They wanted no Sunday in the French economy. And the first thing they noticed was that the health and the relationships of people started to suffer. The second nation to try to get, in fact, this one was quite interesting. Russia tried a 10-day week. How would you like that one? 10 days before you get one. If you did get one. And what happened? What they found was a disintegration from within. And may I suggest to you that it was no fluke, my friends, what happened in 1989-90. No fluke. The disintegration was taking place from back there because there was no connection with the Almighty. There was no energy drawn from Him who made the heavens and the earth, who gave man the privilege of work. There was no energy, there was no acknowledgement. And so we're going now on our own steam, on human steam. And since sin entered the world, we are limited with our energies. We can't go on and on and on without affecting ourselves, without affecting our relationship. Abraham Heschel, Jewish scholar, said this: man is not a beast of burden that he should just keep on working and working and working. One of the most interesting things, Lois and I, some of you ladies may have heard this, we discovered when we were in Israel, is that the Dead Sea is like our Niagara Falls. Friday evening, I mean, everyone who can afford it, head for the Dead Sea. That's where they have the retreat. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of people. There are about, what, two or three or four hotels right along the line there. Just full. Now, it's true that there are certain things you can't do. But I want you to know that they're there. Very, very interesting. Certain things you couldn't get to eat from 6 o'clock on Friday. Thomas Watson lived in the 17th century. And he said this, only a 17th century writer would write this way: when the fallen dust of the world has clogged the wheels of our affection, that they can scarce move toward God, the Sabbath oils, the Sabbath comes to oil the wheel of our affection, and they begin to move quickly and progressively on. When the world... Not that work is bad. But when we work so much, my friends, that we can't even open our Bibles because we are so tired, it means that the most important thing to us, the most important thing about us, that we are not beasts of burdens, that we are made in the image of God, and that we can imitate God in taking time out to have an intermission from the labors of the world. Take an intermission so that we can renew our strength, so that we can work again. When we cease to do that, we make ourselves like the beast of burden. And even the beast of burden, God said, should not work on the Sabbath day. Now you notice I haven't said whether Sunday is a Sabbath day or Saturday is a Sabbath day as yet. We'll get to that next week. It means you've got to come back. I just want to see what the Sabbath is. Not the day so much. We take a last look. That's something about this duty, the duty on the Sabbath day. I came across some very interesting things. Do you know that on the Sabbath day, women were not allowed to look in the mirror? The reason? They might see a white hair and pluck it. Now that's true. A man was not allowed to pick up his little child on the Sabbath day without making sure that he didn't have anything in his hand, because if a child had something, then he would be carrying a burden. He'd be working. But the one that I love, and this is true, the Presbyterian minister who couldn't get to church on Sunday because he was iced in. There were those who were able to get there, those who were not able. And he decided he had to be there to preach. He decided to put skates on and go to church to preach his message. And as he was going to church to preach his message, those who could not go to church looked at him from their windows and were aghast. How could he do that on the Sabbath? And then those who made it to church without their skates thought, why in the world would he put skates on the Sabbath? Remember the words of Jesus? The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. In other words, you must not be controlled by the created. The minister was called by those who couldn't make it to church and those who did. And they had a round table discussion. And they were convinced, no, that he had to use skates. But there was one thing they had to find out. Did you enjoy it? Did you enjoy it? You see, if you enjoyed it, it was labor. If you didn't, then you were sober. And you met man's legalistic view of the day, not God's. In conclusion, friends, the Sabbath has benefits for all humanity. Benefits for all humanity. But there's something about the Sabbath that I discovered in the 25th chapter of Leviticus that I think we should pay attention to. God said, when you come into the land that I'm going to give to you, for 6 years you shall till the land. The seventh year is a Sabbath. And the seventh year, you're not to till it, you're to leave it so that it will recreate itself. Now here, just picture in your minds the Canaanites looking around, and 7 years now since the Israelites came to the land. And the seventh year, the farmers are not going out. 7 year, they're still in bed at sun up. And so he leans from over where he is, and he says, how come you're not doing anything on a farm this year? Aren't you going to lose out? And he says, humanly speaking, I suppose I could, but I'm going to tell you what it means. It means that I trust the living God who made where you are standing and where I am standing. And I am related to him. And I want you to know that trust in God means obedience to those physical laws which he has placed in time, so that in time there will always be a connection to eternity. Because, my friends, the book of Hebrews says there's a rest coming. And that rest is not speaking of a day. It is speaking of a rest from this world of toil when we get to heaven, where we will change the old for the new. But in the meantime, what we do on the Sabbath, what we do on the Sabbath, will always say to those who are observing us, you must really trust God not to plant your field for 1 year. And then the next year, when he plants and the crop comes up, Canaanite looks in and says, I can't believe it. You were right. Those people who trust God really prove it by doing what He says they should do. And it proves to me that they really trust God. The key, friends, the key. When God says, cease your labor after 6 days and the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord, it is a sign of trust in your life and mine when we can say this day is different. This is the day the Lord has made and glorified in Himself. All the days belong to God, but this one is set aside to recognize, to keep me from becoming secular, that in the midst of my work, I'm able to take time out to realize that He made it all and He gave it to me to keep. I don't play the violin, but I'm told that a violinist never keeps his violin tight all the time. You can ask John Wilson. This is true. As soon as he's finished, John Wilson, I've had the flu the whole week. John Amos. Ask him if when he's finished playing, the first thing he does when he puts it away is he loosens the strings. Because if that string remains tight all the time, sooner or later, it will break. And so will we, if we don't take time in our lives at certain points to say, I must take an intermission from the regular so that I might take care of the sacred.